Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back and welcome in. It is our One Heart, One Earth Global Awakening event for November 2020. It's our last day. Oh my gosh. And it's Friday the 13th. Hi, Vishali. Hi. We were just talking about how great you are. So welcome in. I'd love for everybody to share where you're from in the comments section. I think that's really fun for us to see. We have people from all over, which has just been awesome. And we are here with the beautiful and wonderful Christine Shaheen. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you, Lisa. Wonderful to be here. Such a great offering that you do. You know, it's great. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, you're just such a light. Like, I just love that you're in my life and you're just,
ditto.
Oh, you're just like, you're just the woman. Like, I don't even know what else to say. You just embody womanness. And I think that's amazing because it takes some healing to really get to that place, don't you think?
It does. I think that there can be some shadow to that. I'm learning as I'm into Julie Hoyle's book and kind of exploring. Yeah, I love that chuckle. It's a really wonderful offering Julie has given us. So, yeah.
It is really, man, it just gets you thinking. And I read the book. I kind of have this, when, you know, all these self-inquiry books, right. I read through them first because you kind
of. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I've started. So I did that with Julie's book. And now I'm going back through and doing the homework. And it's like, oh,
got my little composition notebook. I'm like, okay, reading through it. Got my composition notebook. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good, but it is work for sure. So we're going to talk about your naturally beautiful self. And I just love this because I do think there's a need for balance. Like, I think the beauty, being beautiful and the beauty world and self-image, I mean, it just is, it gets kind of wild out there.
Yeah, it does get kind of wild, doesn't it? And it's exhausting. And when I started my salon, Faces of Astarte, I had a different concept. You know, I wanted it to be a more of a wellness focus. I feel that if we're doing our meditation, if we're doing our yoga, if we're doing those things that keep us centered and healthy, then the result is going to be your unique beauty. Plus, Lisa, you know, this is an Ayurvedic practitioner, you know, we have our doshas. And so if we're a Vata and we want to be a Pitta, you know, I mean, you know, or if we're, you know, one race and we want to be another race, it's not that it's a wrong thing. And there certainly are lessons for us in every path that we choose. But I'm sort of, I just want to take it easy. You know, it's like there's so much else that attends to my focus that if I am making breakfast and we're having omelets and I crack an egg, I'm going to take the whites of that egg and I'm going to give myself a facial with it, you know. I don't have to run someplace and buy a $50 face cream. And that's not to say that that's wrong to do. You know, I'm just saying this is who I am. And this is what I prefer to do just because it's a little bit more low key. And if you're on a budget, you can still be able to be loving to yourself and caring for yourself in simpler ways. And as a mother of six children, I have to say the budgets were tight. So there's part of that.
I love that you brought that up. I have to tell you, Christine, that you brought that up. So my mom, I mean, I attribute this to my mom with the eggs that you're talking about, but my favorite thing that we would do, me and my mom, would be like Saturday afternoon when the house is clean, everything's done, you know. My mom would scramble some eggs in a bowl and she would mix some milk with some cornmeal. And we would do our little egg facials and then we'd, you know, do a nice scrub with the cornmeal and milk. And that was what we did when I was growing up. Still do that this day because it is so great. Like you don't need all that other stuff.
Right. It's true. And it is so great, you know, and some of our, like you said, you learned it from your mother and why wouldn't you want to carry some of that? You know, my mom came from Beirut and, you know, a lot of her focus was assimilation. So we're sort of in the place of reclaiming and rediscovering some of that, because when your focus is assimilation into the new way, sometimes you lose some of those cultural traditions and experiences. So I never got to do that with my mom, but my experience with my mom, who just turned 89 yesterday and is amazing. I mean, she just walks around without any assistance and, you know, still gives her peace of mind, which is great. Is that she was very playful with us, you know, at least with me, she was playful. And, she was an amazing cook. So a lot of my relationship with herbs and spices just come from her innate ability of putting these things together. And from there, I learned that they could also be medicine. Hmm. You know, and I really feel her food was total medicine. It was such a gift to grow up with somebody who had the finesse in the palate and could discern how much and how little, because sometimes it's just that slightest bit, right? And this is kind of like an idea around homeopathy. It's like the slightest bit and you get a healing, right? So yeah, so that was my experience with my mom. She was just an incredible cook. Yeah,
I love that. Cooking's it's a huge part of my life too, and came from my mom as well. And you're right. Like I've really switched over. Well, you know, my cooking changed because I went to culinary school and it was classical French. So that did not go so well for me physically over time because of all the dairy and every other thing. But when I changed, you know, and cleaned up my diet, like my cooking changed. But with the Ayurveda practices over the last 3 years, I've brought in all those spices, the turmeric and the cumin and the fennel. And I just can't. The biggest thing is my skin. I mean, you can really tell. It's like, holy cow, like my skin has never looked like this. And I attribute a lot of that to cooking with the herbs and spices.
Sure.
Reduce inflammation and heal the
right.
body.
Exactly. And we never associate the medicinal pieces to them because we're so ingrained seeing them as just edible. Yeah, but I hope to put together a little book on how I raised my six kids using just those types of things, spices and herbs that I have in my kitchen. So there's a lot that can be done that way. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Are you going to have recipes in your book?
I am.
Oh, that's so fun. Oh my God, I can't wait. That's awesome. Yeah.
And so kind of, again, Lisa, this, you know, remembering your naturally beautiful self, it's that kind of You know, when you discovered through Ayurveda that you had Vata, you know, when we had a conversation, you were like, well, we have the curly hair, you know, we do this. And so those are the types of things that I really feel we're sort of disconnected from is like, okay, is it cultural? Is it doshic? Is it, you know, what are those pieces? And in the natural world, which I, you know, my generation kind of had that going back to that, I think the concept was to simplify. Today we would call it minimalistic living. But to simplify, knowing that we still have to be fulfilled and that things don't always fulfill us. And what are the things that do fulfill us? Right? It's relationship. Mm-hmm. It's connection to our food source. It's connection to our environment. And are we getting enough of that? And so in that world of natural living and then the progression for me became natural beauty. And I have a little story around that, but I can share that for my awakening journey that I will submit to you.
Love it.
And so in that journey from, you know, protecting my community and from an environmental encroachment and became more involved as an eco-activist, and then my activism was expressed in becoming a cosmetologist and opening an eco salon. And just knowing that, you know, one of the things that I used to say to kids, because I worked with Kids Against Pollution, as one of my endeavors is, you know, I would say to them in schools or in groups, anybody can be an environmental activist. You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be a housewife, you know, or you could be a broadcaster, you know, whatever that passion is that you have, you just take your consciousness of using recycled paper or recycling or using least toxic products into your life and into your workplace. And in those small ways, we can make a bigger difference on our footprint. And so that was my intention with starting Faces of Astarte. You know, I say eco salon again, wellness, beauty, eco salon. So, and it was well received. I didn't have a sign on my door that said salon. I felt that that would, it would produce preconceived ideas. And so if people walked by and they just saw Faces of Astarte and the windows had beautiful plants and we had crystals in the window or jewelry or something like that, and they would come in and then they would realize that it was a salon and they would say, oh my goodness, it smells great in here. Oh, I haven't been in a salon for 30 years. You know, and now there's a place I can come to. There's a place that the smells help me, or the ambiance is calming, or whatever that is. And in our traditional beauty, it's about stacking your book back to back with people. And in my approach, even though that does often produce more income, I felt that it was, you know, good to have some one-on-one time. And from there, we could sometimes overlap people. And then they would make new friends, you know. So it was just a different kind of offering. And now that it's been closed a year before, you know, we have BC before COVID, right? I closed it a year. But I closed it a year before, and thank goodness, because then with the lockdown and now, you know, everything's online. I had an online business already, and I was finding it really challenging to keep up with the brick and mortar and then do the online business and then have time with family and stuff like that. So I had already in my mind thought I just need to keep doing the remote consults and do my online business and and, you know, getting a little bit older, it's not that you can't do the things that you love to do when you're older, but it you do want to do the things that you want to do, you know. And for me, it wasn't necessarily in a brick and mortar behind a chair. I feel like now I can really have outreach on how to use the herbal pigments for coloring hair. And, you know, this is kind of confusing to me how we see ourselves in these broadcasts, but, you know, I'm growing out some of my silvers just because, I am, wanting to embrace some of that chrome-ness. Mm-hmm. And you can see from here down that the color is remained. I haven't done anything to that to, you know, I've washed it, I don't know how many times, right? Does the herbs don't, they're enduring. People have this idea that you put them in and they're not lasting. So I feel like this is my next evolution. And then I met you and it's like, wow, this is such a great collaboration. And while we are, I love all of your presenters, whether it's energy medicine or meditation or yoga, it's all about this wellness beauty, this wellness peace that brings us back into peace, brings us back into accepting ourselves. I saw a meme, I don't know when it was, but it was great. It said something about Flossom. You are Flossom. And I was like, Flossom. And I took a better look and it said, for those that accept their flaws and know they're still awesome.
Oh, that's so good.
That's so good. Yeah.
I feel like whoever that was, we need to make a Flossom t-shirt, right?
Right, exactly.
My God.
That's so great. And that's how I feel. That was the concept around my next evolution with goddess beauty, was that the goddess is all encompassing. You know, God tends to be a little bit more, he wants to own this thing and, you know, got to lock this thing down. And the goddess is like, no, we want to share this stuff. You know?
Yeah.
And so I thought, wow, that is great. The Flossom. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so good. I love that a lot. That's a good one. I'm writing it down.
Yeah.
The link to my pencil's still here. The kitty seems to think that every pencil I have needs to be on
the hers.
Yeah. I came in this morning and my microphone was tipped over. Their pencil and my notebooks from taking notes this week were all over the floor. I was like, oh boy. I'm like, this kitty. She was in here while we were asleep.
Yeah, she is. She's just wanting to have her energy all over your stuff.
It's true. She also loves avocados. I eat a lot of avocado because of they're just so great and the fats and all the things.
Right.
Oh my gosh. But every time I get avocados and they're on the counter, so far with this little kitty in the morning, they're all in the living room. They're like pushed down the hallway.
It's like, I'll roll them around before you eat them. Okay.
Yeah. Like we never have an avocado again. That's not bruised somewhere.
Exactly.
Well, I'm happy to have you be a part of this community. I mean, I think what you do is so inspiring, and because what you do is you encourage this. It's like, oh, I can actually take care of my beauty. I can do beauty naturally. I think that's where I got hooked up, like myself, was especially being in fashion for so many years. You have to have all this stuff and the chemicals. And I was a lot like looked a lot like this, even in fashion. I may have had my heels on and my cute outfit, but I was often no makeup and my hair was just a curly mess. And that was just sort of me. And I would always be jealous of the gals I worked with who always had their makeup done and their eye makeup would be beautiful and their hair would be all just done. And I'd be like, I don't know why. I just couldn't do that. And so when I met you this year, it was like, oh, I might be able to do beauty without having to do all the high maintenance stuff. And I think that that's really...
Yeah, of course. And Lisa, you know, you were on it, I think, was it 7 o'clock in the morning your time the other day? I mean, I was enamored. You came in with your robe and your coffee or tea or whatever it was. And you were like, good morning. And I was like, yeah, keeping it real, you know, and that's really important too, you know, and part of that, you know, your naturally beautiful approach is women are diverse, right? And so some of us are going to not leave the house without, you know, our makeup. I mean, I saw a documentary on Dolly Parton. I thought it was amazing. I love that woman. Right? And of course, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin had things to say. And they were like, yeah, and we're like girls and friends and we're hanging out in the hotel room and we're having party and talk, getting to know each other for the film 9 to 5. And she said, and Dolly just never didn't look like Dolly, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, and that's a beautiful thing as well. So if that is who you are and that's what you want to embrace, there's all kinds of support for that. But I also love the idea that somebody who's in the fashion industry just shows up and is their total self, right? Because that also does something for people that you're working with, right? They're like, oh, Lisa can do that, and I can do some of that too. So, and whether or not you color your hair, you know, like I said in my little video, for this awakening was, I'm not vested just because I teach people to color their hair with herbs that you color your hair. You know, I've had many people say to me, oh, well, everybody should just go gray, because they say, well, what do you do? I said, well, I have a book on coloring hair with herbs. Well, everybody should just go gray. And I'm like, yeah, I never intended on coloring my hair, by the way. It was something that happened to me. It's part of my awakening, you know, and how to deepen my relationship with herbs was like, oh, wow, we can actually take this into hair coloring. And isn't that a fun thing to do if you're chemically sensitive and you still want to color, but you're missing those types of things? So it's not like you have to do it, you know.
Well, isn't it part of your creative process too? Because I think for me, like, it's really fun to decide what color I'm going to do. And I'm really excited too, because I've got, hold on, I have it right here. Christine's herbs. Here they are. You're ready. And I'm really excited because this indigo color. So years and years and years ago, I mean, this was like, I don't even know how long ago. I was like 20 or something. This is a long time ago. And I wanted the blue black hair. Like, I was like obsessed with that. And at the time, my hairstylist was like, you can't do that. It'll never come out, blah, 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 whatever she said. So I never did it. And I saw this indigo, and of course, indigo and whatever. And Christine and I had a little plan. So I had my little highlights done, and I'm like, ready. I'm ready. It's Scorpio time. I'm ready. So I'm really excited to finally do this.
Oh, and with cool. More.
Oh, well, I got validation because I got my hair done and it looks fabulous. It's a beautiful. But I broke out in eczema all on the bottom. And that's never happened to me in my life. Right. And I knew that the chemicals were starting to push it. I mean, I am so chemical free in so many ways. And I did this last time. This was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. all along the base down here. Mm-hmm. Scaly, burning. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just awful. Yeah. It's so awful. So I'm looking forward to finally diving into this because I'm ready. And I love the creative process of,
right.
I'm all for being yourself, like being gray or whatever. My mom, yeah. My mom's 71 and she finally stopped coloring her hair. And Lord knows I do not take after my mom in this way because I'm going to be 42 in a couple weeks and my hair is pretty white. It's pretty silver black. My mom has like no, it looks like she never stopped coloring it. It's literally not. And my grandmother, her mom, never had a gray hair in her life. Isn't that crazy?
No, I mean, this is something that we're understanding more and more is lifestyle plays into a lot of our aging practices, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like there was a book out years ago called Vital at 100. I think it was by the man, last name of Robbins, like Baskin and Robbins. He did some research. It was really profound because he said that he met people like Aboriginal people that claimed to be 150 years old and they were totally vital. They weren't like sitting down and they didn't necessarily always have gray hair. And he said, and they didn't even have documentation of their age, but they had lineage. They had lineage that this is their great, great, great.
Holy cow.
And how their great, great grandchildren or, you know, however great they were dying before them because they were still living in the Aboriginal environment and eating the Aboriginal foods, whereas their younger generations were not as connected to that and eating fast food, blah, 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 that whole thing. So I totally think that, and I had a woman in my salon, she was 85. She had hardly any gray hair and her daughter who was like 45, 50 had tons. So it's totally like where and how and why, you know, and some of the hypotheses are that when we lose hair pigment, it has to do with the body producing a lot of hydrogen peroxide, but it doesn't get into what is having that production, you know, what is the connection to that? So, I mean, it's fascinating, really. And with quantum physics, you would think that that would be true, that we would just not even have gray hair. If that's something you vision, right?
Yeah, I have some fun science facts about all that. So,
oh, you do?
I do because I've read a lot because the biohacking community talks a lot about little things like that because they want to hack their biology. And gray hair is a big one. And they talk about the peroxide. That is on your brain, essentially, that's being produced chemically up there. And it has a lot to do with the Clostridia bacteria, which is actually what Cairo was talking about the other day. And I've had overgrowth of Clostridia. And it's interesting because they're finding there's a link. We all have Clostridia bacteria, but it can overgrow if you're exposed to toxic chemicals. And what they're finding is if you have a health crises or an autoimmune experience. Some people get those streaks of gray in their hair and stuff. And I have one that one day, hopefully it'll be rad enough. I'll just let it grow out. Right now it's kind of patchy, but I do have this like spot. So that's part of where it comes from is what they're saying. And there are people who have reversed their grays.
Wow, that's great.
By reducing
their production.
Yep, their production. The other thing that's cool is Deanna Hansen, who was on with Black Therapy. She was telling me we were talking one day. This is not on a live, by the way. This was just her and I talking. But she said that she's had some of her patients who are using the block have reversed their gray hair. from the block therapy. So that's really wild.
So exciting. It's so exciting.
It is. And we've got so many great comments. So first off, hi, Lena. Lena, you and Carolina need to get together, by the way. So I'm going to email you. But she says Betty Rocker. Who the heck is Betty Rocker? I want to know who this is. But Betty Rocker uses Flossom and already made shirts. Oh, darn. Okay, well, we can't do that then. And then Heather from Superpower Consulting says coloring is one thing, but she wants to know about what the texture is like. So I think that's a good question for you, Christine. And Susan says, I earned my gray hair and I am proud of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Heather continues to say the wiry stiff stuff. Like, how does that work? And that's a great question. Like with the herbs, like does the texture shift?
So let me first say that the herbs work on any textured hair really well. There's no, I mean, sometimes you might find some gray resistance, and that's probably going to be true even with chemical color. But for the wiry hair, it can calm it. And if for really super curly hair, sometimes the herbs can make that less curly or more of a relaxed curl, but that's not true for everyone. I've had clients that have really tight curls. I have curly hair, probably more like your curly hair, Lisa. For today, I just kind of put a little bit of iron through it just so that you could see how the color is, you know, where the grays I'm letting come in and the endurance of the color. Yeah, I've had people who have super curly hair and they put the herbs on and it doesn't relax the curl. It did a little bit for mine, which for me, I loved only because sometimes I couldn't get that curl to stay. And so by being sort of in between this really curly and sort of a soft curl sort of made my hair last a little bit longer, you know, without having to spritz. And I'm not a big maintenance person. So that's part of my thing. I think this is part of my thing is like, you know, if you don't want to do a lot of high maintenance, you can still be beautiful. And it is doing yoga and meditation high maintenance. For some people, it might be. They'd be like, oh, man, I got to take my, you know, 10 minutes or 20 minutes and sit down and do nothing or, you know, that kind of thing. And that to them would be a lot to do. But I guess it's finding our way and what works for us. What do we resonate with? So as far as the texture of the hair, any hair texture does receive the herbs really well, including the wiry hair. And I, you know, I'm available via email, Christine at ChristineShaheen.com. Yeah, and then you can shoot me off any questions or
there we go. You guys got our email now. And yeah, you know, Cheryl, who is, you know, our resident herbalist,
right,
with you directly, and she loves it. Yeah. And, so you guys really, I encourage you to reach out to Christine. I know we're going to be doing this here. This is going to be part of my birthday treat. Once this event is over is giving my hair a winter shift.
Sure.
But what?
And let me just add too that henna is a natural sunblock, and so when we use henna as a deposit and or to create other colors, it actually will protect your hair.
That's awesome. What do you think about the balance? I think the context is, I've been live on YouTube almost 300 hours this year. It's like an hour a day. And when I go back and I'm going through videos and editing and doing some other things, I was like, oh my God, I need to get it together. And part of it comes. Yeah.
I was like, what do you have to get together? And then I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Our self-talk.
Our self-talk. And so I've really been sitting with this, and I think it's a great question for your thoughts on it too, because I just love your insight so much. But I've really been sitting with, well, what is the balance really? Because there is something about, you know, really stepping into your beauty and really taking care of yourself.
Right.
Like being naturally beautiful, hence your topic, versus like not a lot of times. This morning's a great example. A lot of times I don't give myself enough space to take care of myself. I definitely do a good job overall, I'd say, these days, but I've done so much this year. And so I'm really sitting with like, what is the balance between just being natural and being naturally beautiful?
So I do want to acknowledge that your statement around there is something about the activity, right? Mm-hmm. And the intention. There definitely is something around that. And while my topic is your naturally beautiful self, it's not to say that you would not take time to put makeup on, right? And is it something that you enjoy doing? It's a fine line, Lisa, because as we consider, I don't even know, you know, I want to embrace the term light worker and I want to do all of that. But at the same time, that's kind of a slippery slope, right?
Yeah.
Because every time I get to a place where I think I am, I find out I'm not. So I want to be careful with some of that. And also this idea around what we do is important, but how we do what we do is really, so is it stress related? It's kind of like when Vishali was on the other day and she was talking about, you know, all that negative self-talk. And she said, well, you know, if you, if that was a friend of yours, would you hang out with them? Right. That's always a great visual. And I feel like that's what we have to do. I have a vanity. Right. I have a table that has my makeup and it has a mirror. That was part of my upbringing, not my mother. She didn't do makeup at all, but my aunt, who was a store model, and she had a vanity. And she would, you know, there's wisdom in our elders. And she would say, as long as you are comfortable, you're always going to look nice. Right. So don't jam yourself into something that doesn't fit you just because you know, and then you like it, but you're not going to be comfortable. It's going to show on your face. It's going to show on how you walk. It's going to show. So just be comfortable. And I would just notice that she would just take the time, you know, it was like she would sit at her vanity and she would brush her hair and she's looking at herself, but it wasn't this like, I've got to achieve something, you know, and that could have changed later in life. But when I was little and I had that relationship with her, that's what I saw. And she had this gigantic aloe plant. I mean, I think it was bigger than me.
Oh, wow.
And she would take a little piece of that aloe plant once or twice a week and put it in some warm water and drink it. She would use it on her skin. And so those types of things I really feel. And for me, having the vanity is kind of like that. I sit down, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, okay, girlfriend, you know, how can I help today? Or how are you feeling? And sometimes, you know, we don't want to say we get our goodness from this action, but having this nurturing action towards yourself can be helpful, right? So is it a pursuit? And is it something that is a pursuit that is unattainable for you in particular? Or is it something that is more like maintenance? You're going to put oil in your car. You're going to put antifreeze in your, you know, you're going to change your tires, you know. And certainly, I don't adhere to the idea, which in beauty school was always like, if you wear makeup, you just always wear makeup. I'm like, no, I'll probably go to the store without makeup, you know, or I've done video with you without makeup, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you, I'll look at the video later and go, I can't believe I did that. but but you know, I have to deal with that self-talk too. Everybody does, right?
Well, yeah, especially when you're on video live, and like even right now, I'm like, oh gosh, but whatever. What are your like go-to routines? Like for me, dry brushing and oiling, I do almost every single day. Like body, first off, it loves it. I'm Vata like you. I mean, we've talked about this. So the dryness, but it completely transformed my skin. And so, and my immune system, quite honestly, I'm definitely seeing a difference after doing this for, it's been more than a year that I do this almost, I mean, really almost every single day. I dry brush and oil. So what's your like,
I love that, Lisa. I love it. So I have to say I believe it's because my Saturn's in Libra. I'm always doing something that's like, and I've learned, and actually Lena Moon had taught me that, you know, when she does yoga, you know, and she does it every day, she'll switch between yin yoga or, well, there's a bunch, you know.
Yes.
And so, but she like does a check-in with herself and says, well, I want to do yoga today, but how am I feeling? Do I feel like I have the stamina to do this yoga, or do I, you know? So I think check-ins are really important. But for me, I do see that I fluctuate. And I will do, like, for 3 months, I did skin brushing and oiling every single day. And then for like 3 months, I'm doing yoga every single day. I think the one thing that is the thing that I don't waver too much on is my meditation. And it's not like, but I do fluctuate in the meditations that I do. Sometimes they're silent, sometimes they're guided, sometimes they're, and I just feel like the check-ins are super important. And if you feel that because you've done 3 months of skin brushing and oiling and now you're not, that somehow you're off your game, I think you need to change that conversation and just say, well, what am I doing now? Mm-hmm. Or am I taking a break? Because that's okay too, right? Yeah. And if it's feeding you and you can get into that standard of every day for the rest of your life, that's a beautiful thing too. But to measure ourselves around, you know, well, so-and-so is doing that and they've done it for 40 years, you know, and therefore what's wrong with me? You know, maybe you have a Saturn in Libra and you're just going to kind of fluctuate. And I'm sort of grateful for that because I feel like it's not too rigid. My Saturn's not too rigid. You know, I can ebb and flow and give myself a break with it and not be too hard on myself. Although when it comes to carbs, it can be horrible on myself. But, you know, again, I say to myself, well, it's okay. You're just doing this now and it's going to shift, you know, just like, you know, we gain a few pounds and we think, oh my gosh, this is how I'm going to be for the next of my entire life. No, you know, we inhabit different bodies when we're going through different things. And I know I came to you, Lisa, and I was like, I got to get rid of this belly. And you were like, that's okay. Keep working your Ayurveda and keep working on your things. And that stuff just eventually, you know, comes together in your perfect way. So that's I'm practicing what I'm learning and I'm learning what I'm practicing. So
I love that so much. And yeah, that's one thing to let go of. One thing I love is learning when the organs, there are two things that I've learned through Ayurveda and through biohacking that came together for me that I love. One is our organs regenerate. And after 365 days, every single cell in your entire body has regenerated. And then from an Ayurvedic standpoint, you know, your blood plasma feeds your blood, feeds your bones, feeds your muscles, feeds your fat, you know, your ligaments, all these things. And so it gave me a lot of empowerment to realize, like, nothing ever stays the same. And so you let go, just like you're saying, it's like, okay, you know, I gained some weight. I'm not where I want to be, but by changing, you know, what I'm feeding my body with and how I'm operating in the world, you can always make a change. I think that really made me happy. And hi, Claudette. Claudette says, hi, Christine.
Hi.
Says, great conversation, you two. I hope Guard I Am Nerpot, gosh, I hope I said that right, spoke to you, Christine. Very interesting that he is the nurturing Guard I Am, considering what your specialty is. So that's kind of cool.
I'm totally unfamiliar, yeah.
I know. Yeah, Claudette, you're going to have to share more. And she's got these incredible little guardians. So, and I do believe that's on offer for part of the awakening, you guys. So I gotta, as soon as this is all done, I can go in and check out all the offerings and things. I've seen all the videos, but I have not done the offering piece, but.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that too, Lisa, actually, because I've been keeping up pretty much, but not to the extent. And so I definitely am so, enamored with all of these wonderful people, and I want to know more about all of them. So definitely going to take that time and get into that.
Me too. And my gift to everybody, I announced this morning.
I saw it.
Yeah, we're going to keep everything open till November 30th. So you guys have plenty of time. Yes. Well, there's 34 presentations just online, and then everything we've done this week. And oh, so Christine, we're almost out of time already. It just flies in here. And I'd love to give you some space to share about your book, how people can find you, what's on offer, all those good things.
Sure. My website, ChristineShaheen.com. I sell the herbs. I have the book. I do remote consults if anybody's interested to have a little coaching, because sometimes it can be intimidating to. But the book is really a how-to book, so it's pretty thorough. But sometimes even with that, people just want to connect. So there are ways to do that. I am going to be doing more shows with Lisa, so I'm looking forward to that. And hoping to put together some more, like I said, the little book on how to raise a tribe of kids on a low budget, you know, when you want to keep them healthy. Just so grateful to be here and to hear all of the other speakers. So amazing. All of you people are doing such great work. And I feel in some regards very secure knowing that the ascension is happening because everybody's working so hard. Well, and allowing. We're allowing it to come through, and we're focused on allowing a new vision for how we are or have been engaged with our surroundings and each other to, I guess, spontaneously evolve, like Bruce Lipton would say, you know, our spontaneous evolution because of our intent and our work. And we finally hit that place where it all just kind of comes together. So thank you, ChristineShaheen.com, Christina Christine Shaheen, and connect with you all soon. Thank you.
Well, I love you so much, Christine.
Me too.
And if you guys are accessing the Light Library, Christine has some incredible presentations from the last few summit events that we've done about herbs. Oh my God, I learned so much and all sorts of good stuff. So definitely you can check her out in there. We actually have a whole category in the Light Library called Natural Beauty, and you can find all of Christine's presentations in there. So Christine, you know I love you.
Thank you. Love you too.
And
blessings.
Blessings
and beauty.
Yes, blessings and beauty. We are back in 10 minutes with Heather Bryant talking about moving from head to heart. And then we have a break, and then we're down to our final two, you guys. It's the end. So here we go. So much love to everybody. I'll see you soon.
Blessings.